If I'm transformed and renewed in my mind, how do those things come? Yes, they come by my personal study in the Word, but corporate fellowship, coffee with my girlfriend, grappling with a problem and trying to see it through God's eyes, listening to my pastor, doing a Bible study together, listening to other people's take what the Holy Spirit gave them out of that passage, because God's Word is living and active. So I get something different than what you get, and they're both true. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Romy and Jan, and we're looking at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, which teaches us how to put off the old self. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture. So visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the words put off to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and from each other. I hope you find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. We sometimes think too highly or too lowly of ourselves, and our identity is in Jesus Christ, and either opinion is wrong. But let me say this. In the context of the 12:2 and 12:3 verses together, and this is what sometimes I don't like about the Bible translators separating things out into paragraphs with new headings, because in my mind, Romans 12:3 deeply impacts Romans 12:2 and vice versa. Okay. So Romans 12:3 says, and I'm going to just lift it out to make it easier. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, hold that in your pocket, and let me go back to 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to say it again. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. So let me boil it down even further. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but be transformed in your mind. You see what I'm saying? Even though we read those verses in the opposite of what I just said to you, they are completely connected. If I think too highly of myself, I'm going to go with my own brain, not God's way. If I think too highly of myself and I don't think of myself with sober judgment, I'm going to make my own decisions. And I'm not going to allow God to transform my mind because I don't see any need for transformation.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
See, I saw it the opposite.
That's okay. Tell me what you think.
Okay. Because that was a good question that I had to...
Good. I'm glad.
I had to think about that for a second. 12:2, I wrote here, we become clear-eyed. 12:2, you say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern the will of God,
right,
which is good and perfect.
And that will produce your ability not to think too highly of yourself.
Like
that's what you thought.
That makes you clear-eyed. Like, okay, once you see things the way you're supposed to see
that's it, right,
then you can't fall into this other trap.
I agree with you. That's why I wrote the question the way that I did.
Right.
I tackled it from the opposite place, that's all. But what I wanted to show with that question was that these two verses impact each other equally.
They do.
That you, when you are transformed in your mind, you don't think as highly of yourself as you might have before. You do have sober judgment of yourself. Isaiah in chapter 9 said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, because he was transformed into the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, he was very aware of his own shortcomings. So when your mind is transformed by God, you are very aware that you're not higher than you used to think.
Right.
But the other opposite is also true.
Right.
When you think too highly of yourself, you're not allowing God to transform your mind because you don't think there's any transformation that is necessary. You think, I'm smart. and right. I'm good, and I'm following God's rules, and I'm doing the right things. You think more highly than you ought to think, and that impacts your ability to be transformed. And it's very important to me to lift. So that's why I said, don't just know the address, know the neighborhood. Because if you read Be Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind without reading about living sacrifice and without reading about not thinking more highly than you ought to, how can you possibly allow yourself to be transformed? It comes back to you, Romy. When I say be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're going to say, how?
Right.
Right.
But God right. says how.
Right.
Which is the danger of like yes. putting, okay, I love putting a post-it with a Bible verse on my mirror. I'm not saying don't do it. But if you're going to do it, you better know what he said before it and what he said after it, or else how?
Right.
How possibly?
Sure.
And so we become a living sacrifice, putting off the old self, like we talked about in Ephesians, putting the old self on the altar, firing it up. Then we are transformed by the renewing that he gives us when we empty ourselves up. We are spirit-filled. And then we can think of ourselves with sober judgment. Sober judgment, which means clear-mindedly. We don't think too highly, and we don't think too lowly. We are right on track because he has transformed our mind. He has made us spirit-filled by emptying us out. We put off the old and we've put on the new, and then we can see ourselves soberly, which is clearly according to the measure of faith that he has given us. And always we come back to that. We do these things by his gift of faith and grace. We can't do these things on our own, but we can allow him to do these things in us.
Wow. Those three verses kind of need each other.
Yes. Right? The whole Bible needs each other.
Yeah.
People do often pull things out, and I love that. I'll quote a scripture to you all day long, mm-hmm. but you got to understand it in the counsel of the rest of the word. You want to know what he said before and after. And then we jumped from Ephesians to Romans to Ephesians. This is the same precept. In order to understand it, we look at it in contrast and comparison with each other. That's true of the whole Bible, right, Jan?
Yes.
Okay. So there's one more that talks about how we ought to think of ourselves in relationship to others. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I'll read it. And while I'm doing that, you can, if you haven't already done, or in your mind, listen to each time you hear the word mind. So this is Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now there's a humility. This actually, I just did a study on humility. You can see that on studywithfriends.org. This actual passage was our core scripture. So it's worth mentioning that if you want to dive deeper in. We're not going to do that right now. We've already done it. We've been talking this whole time about what's happening inside our own spirit in a very individualistic way. Right? Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit. In verse 2, there's a different kind of mind than we saw, or than perhaps was obvious to us in the Ephesians and Romans passages. What is it? What does it say in verse 2?
My joy by being of the same mind right there.
Uh-huh. Having the same love.
And being full accord of one mind.
Okay, what do you think he's saying there? What is the difference between having your own mind and being of the same mind with others? What's the difference?
It's a kind of fellowship.
That's right.
It's, yeah, so you're in this perpetual fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Which actually we talked about at the beginning of the recording about the diversity of women who come to this ministry and study the Bible with us, but yet we are of one mind.
Right.
Right? We might have different doctrines, different denominations. We might have different socioeconomic, ethnic statuses, but we are of one mind. So what that means is we agree through Jesus Christ. We agree. Isn't that beautiful? Have you met? By the way, you two were like, I think I met you before. But There's an intimacy here. So many times people have come around this table and they've never met. And you leave this table feeling like lifelong friends.
Right.
You're like, so that's true. My girlfriend.
Right. That's so true.
I could call her. I could text her. She would pray with me right now.
Right.
That is having one mind. How we accomplish that is through study together. Right. You can accomplish that through worship together. I think what we're doing right now creates it in the most intimate way. Yes. When I grapple with things, when I share with you, when I'm transparent with you about my struggles and how God's teaching me this, but I'm fighting and I'm not getting it and I'm messing it up, there's a vulnerability there, a transparency there that creates intimacy around one mind, which is to be more towards Christ.
Right.
And so I didn't want to miss that. Okay. So I want to unpack that just a little bit. And I want to talk about how those things influence each other. Tell me how it has influenced you, even in this time today with each other, if it has, that we've shared our differences and our different perspectives, and each of you is like, well, actually, I looked at that in a different way. How do those two things influence each other? If I have my own mind, which is I want to be towards Christ, then I also have a common, same mind with you. Does that edify you? Does that help you grow? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I like what Jan said about fellowship and connection. I think of it almost from a fulfillment piece. Mm. I think there's something in the Bible that says fellowship among other Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot about that, actually.
There is a lot about that.
So it's a fulfillment of your spirit, really, in your soul, when you can connect with others that are of like mind and grapple with things that are in a loving way. I mean, you could take a completely different example and talk about something, you know, the big bad P word, politics, right? Mm-hmm. And anger comes out of that, and, you know, frustration, and why doesn't that person see
division.
It my way, and division and ugliness, right? Mm-hmm. But when you bring it to the mind of Christ, it takes on, for me, a different level of love. Mm. That's more about, you know, doing something in fellowship together and trying to be more like Christ, like learning from one another. It's almost like a common goal you have with somebody you've never met before, but we're in this thing together.
Yes.
Let's learn from each other, and I'm going to help you and you're going to help me. And how'd you think of it? And this is how I thought of it. And it's fulfilling.
It is fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Would it be too great of a leap for me to say, and tell me if it is, that part of the transformation of my mind that God is talking about in Romans 12:2 comes from my exchange of ideas with others?
No, I think that's part of it.
I think it's a critical part.
If I'm being honest,
if I'm transformed and renewed in my mind, how do those things come? Yes, they come by my personal study in the Word, but corporate fellowship, coffee with my girlfriend, grappling with a problem and trying to see it through God's eyes, listening to my pastor, doing a Bible study together, listening to other people's take what the Holy Spirit gave them out of that passage, because God's word is living and active. So I get something different than what you get, and they're both true.
Is that how iron sharpens iron?
Yes.
So we replenish each other.
And the transformation. So, that's a great example. Hadn't thought of it. Thank you for bringing it. Iron sharpens iron. We're sharper. That's a transformation from dull to sharp. That's a change. That's a transformation. And it happens because of a catalyst. Something else had to be there. Iron can't sharpen itself. You see what I'm saying? So when we talk, we spend a lot of time talking about putting off the old self, putting on the new self, being of a transformation of our mind. And I just want to bring in one more element, which is how we do that in corporate life. Corporate being community life, the church. Oh, you're Romy, you're so right. All over the Bible it says, be with other believers. Let us, in Hebrews it says, let us not give up meeting together.
Right.
And all over they broke bread together and had fellowship. And of course we're built for relationship. That's what God built us, you know, and one of the beautiful things that we see in the Trinity, that we are all created for relationship. But it's not just for our own selfish benefit. It's because we learn better. We grow more, faster. I mean, I got to tell you, when I'm in Bible study, I'm always in a growth place. When Bible study breaks for the summer, I feel like someone pushed the car into neutral.
Yeah.
And so my foot's still on the gas, but yeah. I ain't going anywhere.
Same.
Because when I'm out of that corporate community environment where right. I'm being challenged and transformed because of the words out of somebody else's mouth, I just didn't want to miss that. Don't miss it when you have it to offer, and don't miss it when you can go get it. Be in fellowship. It's one of the reasons that I love this ministry. It's different than what you hear on other podcasts and other radio programs. Other podcasts and other radio programs are one dude or one woman telling you how you should live your life. You and I are sitting here figuring it out together. And it's better. It's better, I think. I'm not trying to dog out, because Lord knows all those pastors, I love them. I listen to that all day long. I listen to it all day long because part of my transformation comes from that weird fellowship that I have with a pastor I've never met, but I listen to him every day.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Sure.
Just here it's more give and take. There it's more take.
Right.
But it's a human helping my mind be transformed by his words, God's grace. So I just wanted to pull that out because I think it really matters. The next question I ask is, what's the common idea in Philippians 2, 3, and 4? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Don't look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't only look to your own interests. And then Romans 3, we just talked about. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What did you think is the common idea between those two passages? Did you write anything in your note?
Get self out of the way.
And put what instead?
Others.
Others.
That's what I had, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's connected. So if we tie Ephesians, yeah. Putting off the old self and putting on the new self, and Romans, being transformed and not thinking more highly of ourselves, and now Philippians, where we find this applied in community, then we think of others before ourselves. So I might not want to tell that story, but if I think it's going to help you, I'm going to tell it, even though it's embarrassing or painful, or I have a transparency or a vulnerability that I have to expose by telling you that story. Mm-hmm. That's an example of me thinking more of you than myself. Could I protect myself and my image by not sharing this story of my struggle? Yes. Or I could put myself on the altar. I could put off my old self, which is self-involved, mm-hmm. and thinking of you first, thinking of others first, I could say, I'm going to tell you this story because I think it could help you. That's an example of how that looks, but there are a million examples of how it looks when we truly do take off the old self and put on the new self. We are automatically more inclined towards the needs of others more than ourselves, because self is diminished.
Yes. I think about the cycle you described earlier when you were talking about the cycle of
trust and obedience.
So you will share yourself, intimate things with yourself, if it's useful to someone else.
Right.
Because you are being obedient, mm-hmm. and you trust him, mm-hmm. to guide you through it, and you know that it's safe to do it because they need it from you.
Yeah. And on a community level, it may surprise you, but my nature, I'm a very private person. Now, that is ridiculous for me to say when I know we're on the air. I just calculated the reach of all the stations that we're on. It's not saying this many people listen to us, because we know not every household in the reach of a Christian station will listen. But the reach of the stations we're on is 30 million people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I say to you I'm a private person, that makes no sense. Because I'm putting all my life out here on this, but I'm doing it because myself, by God's grace, gets pushed aside. What I would prefer, which is to live my life out privately, doesn't matter because I'm so filled with the Spirit that I don't, as a living sacrifice that's burned up, and I actually am enthusiastic to share. It's in the same way that I said to you guys before, God changed my heart about things. He changed me into what he needed me to be. Didn't matter that I felt like I would rather live my life out in a private way. He was like, I have something better. Let's do my thing instead. Mm. But you know, does that shock you when I say I'm a private person? Because I've become a transparent person through the ministry to me and through me of Study with Friends. But prior to that, I was very private, very reluctant to share my own struggles. That's pride. Mm. But God set that aside through his grace. He sets that aside and he says, don't worry about how you're going to look. Let them look at me, God says. And I'm like, right, let's do that. And not only I'm not just okay with it, I'm juiced for it. You know what I mean? That's a heart change.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think of others, when he can empty me out, I think others, let's go do this thing, God, do your thing. And then I'm humbled by the fact that he would choose me to do that. Mm. So it's a whole heart change. I'm like, yes, I can't believe you would choose me to do that. Such a mess. I'm such a mess. But if you would choose me again from my face, I say, if you would choose me, send me. I'll tell all my business, which is very not what I would have been inclined to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a heart change. I could give you 1,000 examples, but I want you guys to think about examples. Just think about examples about how emptying myself out, being transformed in my mind, putting off old self and putting on new self, how does that play out in the community of believers and non-believers in such a way that their minds are transformed and they're able to put off their old selves? You see how it's symbiotic?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Okay. Returning to our core verse, Ephesians 4:22-24, what is the promise embedded in verse 24?
Righteousness and holiness.
Mm-hmm. But what's your word, Jan? Is it just plain old righteousness and holiness?
True
righteousness and holiness, which is great because my next question is, who's responsible to fulfill that promise?
He is.
God is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's critical, guys. We can't talk about putting off the old self, especially because the wording in Romans 12:2 is easier for us to process rightly because it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I lifted that up and I said, it doesn't say transform yourself. But the problem with the Ephesians wording is it says put on and put off, which does imply we have the action to do, which we do. Let me be clear. In both verses, there's an agreement between ourselves and our Savior. There's a component that we bring to it, and there's a component that he brings to it. But at the end of the day, it's his responsibility to create true righteousness and holiness in us. It's not our responsibility. We can't do it. What we can do, what is our responsibility, is what? That word you love so much.
Obedience?
Yes. So that's the response.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But he's responsible for creating it, and we respond to what he's created. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together and with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.